In the name of Jesus. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus was born King of the Jews. That is what the Magi stated when they came to Herod looking for the infant Jesus, that they might fall down and worship him. Where is he who is born King of the Jews? Jesus was descended from the royal line of David. He was the heir to David's throne. When Pilate sentenced Jesus to death on a cross and he was crucified, Pilate had a little placard nailed to the cross that said, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Well, there is a lot of political intrigue when you get into monarchies and other such forms of non-elective government. King Herod the Great had daughters, sons-in-law, sisters killed because he saw them as rivals to his throne. It was the same with Roman emperors. Any potential rival, they would eliminate so that there would be no one else who would claim the throne. And that is kind of what today's gospel reading is like. Not that anyone is claiming Jesus' throne, but the gospel reading is to identify Jesus not merely as King of the Jews, but King over the universe. The King who, through whom, the Lord God created all things. The King in whom we find the new creation. Once heaven and earth had been despoiled by Adam and Eve's sin, and all of creation was groaning as in the labor of childbirth, the Lord God promised a new creation, a creation free of sin and suffering, free of death. And Jesus is the one who inaugurates that new kingdom. In St. John's Gospel, it's the second Passover of Jesus' ministry. He had been in Jerusalem prior to this for the Passover. Following today's gospel reading, he would be betrayed in Jerusalem. He would be sentenced to death and crucified. He would die and be buried in Jerusalem. But here's the halfway point, you could say, in John's Gospel. It is near the Passover. Jesus has gone over to the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. And as always, a large crowd was following him. They had seen the signs that he was doing on the sick, the miracles of healing and deliverance he had performed. Well, Jesus went up on a mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. And again, once again, we are reminded that it is near the Passover. Jesus is very popular at this point. But as we read on later in the sixth chapter of St. John's Gospel, we will see that he lost his popularity with the crowd. But right now, he lifts up his eyes and he sees that a large crowd is coming to him. Jesus has compassion upon them, we learn from the synoptic accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He asks Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" Philip doesn't know. He can't comprehend that Jesus himself would feed them, even though he has seen Jesus perform many miracles of many kinds. Jesus was testing Philip. He himself knew what he was going to do. Philip said, Lord, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of these people to get a little bit. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, says to Jesus, there's a boy here. He has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish in a little basket, but what are those for so many people? Again, our Lord Jesus Christ knew what he was going to do. Have the people sit down. And there was much grass in that place. John makes a point of telling us, think of the Lord makes me to lie down in green pastures. As you read that, Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Later in John's Gospel, Jesus will identify himself as the good shepherd who loves his sheep and takes care of them. And we see that already on display here in the 6th chapter of St. John. So the men sat down. There were about 5,000 men there. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, I believe, provide the additional detail that there are women and children besides. So there could be upwards to 20,000 people that Jesus is going to feed on 5 little barley loaves and 2 little sardines. Imagine our next potluck if that was all that was available on the table. There might be some grumbling then. So Jesus took the loaves, and look at the verbs here. He took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. Does that remind you of anything? Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to the disciples. He takes, he gives thanks, and then he gives, he distributes. He did the same with the fish, and the crowd got as much as they wanted. 20,000 people. That is beyond my comprehension. But then I think, wait, John tells us that Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. Twice in John's Gospel, Jesus is referred to as my Lord and my God. Jesus, as the second person of the Trinity, was active in the work of creation. When heaven and earth and all that fills them was brought forth by the spoken word of God's command. And if Jesus is God, and that is the testimony of the scriptures, it is the testimony of the creed, if Jesus is God and he participated in the creation of a whole universe out of nothing, then it's no real difficult feat for him to take these 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and feed a great multitude with them. Notice how, in today's Old Testament reading, Moses came before the Lord God, and he said, these people are complaining. They're saying, we wish we had died in Egypt when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, but you've brought us out to this wilderness where we're going to die from hunger. And the Lord provided them manna from heaven, bread to eat from heaven. Following these verses in St. John's Gospel, Jesus refers to himself as the bread of heaven come down for the life of the world. He says He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. I am the true bread of heaven, not the manna that Moses gave. I am the bread of heaven that God gives you. There is no account of the institution of the Lord's Supper in St. John's Gospel. Apparently, when John, guided by the Holy Spirit, wrote his Gospel some 30 years after Matthew, Mark, and Luke had written theirs, John saw no need to include an account of the Lord's Supper. Matthew, Mark, and Luke had already recorded that. But chapter 6 of St. John is the Eucharistic chapter of John's Gospel, because we see there Jesus doing the same thing to provide for the people's needs. He performs the same action, takes bread, he gives thanks, and he gives to the people. And everyone had as much as they wanted. When the people saw this great sign of Jesus's, they said, "This is indeed the prophet whom Moses promised would come into the world." And they wanted to make Jesus king. They were offering Jesus the same temptation that the devil offered him in the wilderness. "All this I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. You shall rule over everything." But Jesus is a different kind of king. Jesus is not a king who orders his subjects to be executed. He is a king who is himself executed for the wrongdoing and sins of his people. No earthly ruler does that. No political figure in our country would do that. This is how you know love, that God loved you and sent his Son for you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus is a king who willingly faces destruction and death so that he can feed his people with the gospel, the good news of forgiveness, with the very body and blood that were crucified on that Good Friday. Jesus tends to his people with his word. He lovingly sacrifices himself for the good and eternal well-being of his people. Jesus is a different kind of king. You aren't assembled here today to see President Trump or any political dignitary in this country. I wouldn't be here if they were here. But you are assembled around Jesus to hear his word of forgiveness to you, to receive the sacrament of his body and blood. And he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to be sure. But he is also a humble king who invites us to come to him when we are weary and heavy laden, for we will find our rest in him. He makes us to lie down in the green pastures of his word and his forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.